Hey, everybody. Thanks for stopping by Distinguished Gentlemen Podcast number 149. Second to the last episode. I'm going to do my best to try not to cry tonight. I'm not making any promises.
So I actually, the other day I heard, I was watching The Office, and I don't know what episode it is, but Michael Scott breaks up with his girlfriend,
and
he's playing James Blunt, Goodbye, My Lover. And all I could think about was you guys.
He only plays like that. He plays just the example from Amazon over and over. Because he doesn't want, you could just buy the song. He's like, no.
Goodbye, my lovers. Goodbye, my friends.
James Blunt. Oh my gosh. I haven't heard that name in like 8 years.
I actually went to see him in concert with my wife.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You openly admit that?
Yeah. Oh, she wasn't my wife at the time. I was still trying to.
Sacrifices we make, my friend.
That sealed the deal. She was like, James Blunt. Ooh, this guy knows his music.
Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend.
I saw her on a subway train. She was looking kind of sad.
Well, I didn't know you guys could just play James Blunt back through. Skype. Wait, oh, that was you singing? I couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah. No, that was me. That was me.
Falsettos are real.
Let's just get the let's get these intros out of the way. We got Stu Gatso here this week. We have Baroque Reaper.
Yep.
And we get to our guests of honor. So I guess this kind of got started on Twitter. Friend of the show, S Racer, tweeted out. He thought it would be apropos if our first guest was our last guest, and that seemed like a fantastic idea. Connections were made, and tonight we have our last guest, the Lupos. So,
hello,
welcome,
yay.
Lupos.
Hi, that's me and her.
And
that
me.
Is
that and
is,
him.
That's them.
And her, and also me. It's us.
It's a former co-host and first guest. And, you know, it's funny. I went back and I listened to that episode, a little bit of it, just the beginning part. And I got to say, like, shit, I should have put it in my soundboard, opportunity missed. But that intro, I think, was still one of the funniest ones ever. I think it was like, it was when you put me on hold. You're like, yeah, it's like these dude tales guys. I don't know. Yes. They're just some assholes.
Oh, yeah.
Look
at that.
Man, you let me openly... Wait, we're like good to swear and stuff in this, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Let me talk shit about you on your podcast to say hi to... Like, I felt a little bad, but also it was hilarious.
Well, I think the first, like, 15, 20 episodes, whenever we had an intro, it would always end with somebody calling us dumbasses.
Yeah. I was like, can you just say...
so, hey, that was
can
our
you
thing.
Just say we're fucking idiots at the end of this? They're like, are you sure you want me to do like, yeah, no, definitely,
I remember... Fallout plays, we had to like practically beg the guy. We're like, no, dude, seriously. Yeah. We mean this. Just
he's
call
so
us
nice,
these.
Too.
He is super nice. So
I
you
still
broke
don't
it.
Feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You ruined him.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
But it was very, very generous of you. Yeah, because it was a little awkward because we didn't even know what our show was about. We're trying to explain to you what this show is about, and I don't know. But I appreciate you being a good sport.
Okay, I'm still trying to figure out what this show's about.
Yeah, I know. We'll get there. We'll get there, we all guys. Another 150, right? Let's go. Hey, you know what? Let's call this whole thing off. The last time we had you on, I think it was a year ago, and it was our 100th episode. Mm-hmm. And you gave us a fantastic gift. You actually rated us because we were streaming at the time.
Hooray!
And it was very funny because we were, like, listening back now, it was the most boring segment ever we were doing. I thought it was going to be funny.
No, Meef went, oh, we're going to do Guardian's Choice. And then he had, like, 17 choices.
No. It was That's What He Said, where we guess what the other people said.
14
it was
people.
Just, it was so slow. And then the whole time I'm like texting me, I'm like, hurry it up. Hurry it up, Meef. Hurry it up. All these people are watching and it's so fucking boring. But we ended up like, you know, all these people like followed us and stuff. And then we never streamed ever.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect plan.
Ta-da.
But even at the end of the show, there were still like, I don't know, 4,000 people watching or something, like 4,000 people watching.
About 3,000. And then we went and hosted a Mega Mag, which.
Yeah. And he was like, how's it going, guys? I guess it's going pretty good. Right. That was funny. But yeah, I was feeling pretty good that night. I don't typically drink on the show, but That's one of the main reasons why I think that night.
It just it adds a little bit of pizzazz on top sometimes. You know, you can't overdo it.
Yeah.
That was a long episode, too, though.
Oh, my God. It was like three hours long.
Forever long. By the time we got on there.
It was so long. It was so. It was a very, very long night. And just, like, trying to organize all those people. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
I can't go back in time and take a host back, so you better say it's worth it. Otherwise, I swear to God.
Yeah. It was pretty much wasted, because, like I said, we never streamed ever again. We had planned on it, but, you know, like I said before, we're lazy. How are you guys doing? How's,
I know.
How are things?
Busy.
Not too busy, dude. I spent a lot of the day, you know, just being...
Just hanging out.
Not stressed.
Just hanging out, playing video games.
Yeah. All right, now that we've gotten the friggin' lie out of the way, we're very busy. Yeah. Things have they've escalated in a way, in a good way, don't get me wrong. But, like, it's just strange to think about where we were and where we are now and, like, the way that the business has grown and
you're a business now, basically, right?
Oh,
100%. You were the business.
Yeah, which is weird, right? Is that weird to say? Samantha, is that weird to say?
That you are a business versus, like, you created a business?
I'm like, I'm down with you objectifying me, but, like, everybody else? I don't know about that.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that it's kind of crazy to wrap your own head around it because you've really grown tremendously in
a year.
Like, the last year has probably been just exponential growth.
Yeah.
So this might kind of frame it for you. My brother-in-law, he's, how old is he, 22, 23, totally obsessed with Fortnite. Like, it's the only game he plays, whatever.
Very.
So I messaged him today. I said, hey, do you know the Fortnite caster / pro streamer, Dr. Lupo? Yeah. We're having him on our show tonight. Are you fucking kidding me?
Wait, no. Really?
I said this is the third time we've had him on our show.
No, like
you're
fifth
fucking
or sixth,
shitting me. That's what he says. He says, no, you're fucking shitting me. For real.
We go way back.
He's like, I'm finally going to listen really to the nice podcast. Guy. You're like, you know, we only have two episodes left.
Shit.
That's the guy like fired me off like five or six, just back to back to back to back, like two word texts right after that.
For
like,
real?
Holy shit. Oh my God. That's fucking crazy. Blah, blah, blah. Like, it's fucking.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You have become a name in the online scene. And that is, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, I think. And, shit, man, you worked hard for it, so enjoy it.
Yeah,
like, absolutely. That and no one believes we know you. Like, well, seriously,
your own little hidden secret.
If anybody ever questions it, all you got to do is send them my way. Be like, yeah, I know those guys. Go way back.
Actually,
Benjamin, did I ever tell you this last weekend that I think I told you, but maybe I didn't see if you responded back or not. I was traveling this past weekend to my mom's small hometown. And one of her coworkers happened to have the Newsweek magazine that he was in at her desk.
No way.
Because she knew I was coming into town.
And did you sign it?
Yes.
You did? You didn't tell me. That's awesome.
I signed it by my pictures that I took that are in the magazine. Because technically, even though my name's not on it, I know that I took those pictures. So that's I am true. In Newsweek as well.
That's true. Awesome.
You're a published, photographer. It's amazing. Yeah.
So I signed it, and I was like, I jokingly said, I can forge Ben's signature too if she really wants it, or if he really wants it, it's for his, for her son. And she's like, this one's more for me. She just hands me the signature. I was like, that's so adorable.
That's wild. Really,
it is pretty wild. Like thinking back to that first episode, so we had you on after you did the Fragile X stream. And it was like huge deal. You raised like $10,000 and you were on like cloud nine for that. And how much, I'm sure you probably know the number. How much money have you raised for charity? Like since you've kind of started?
I can tell you 2018 for St. Jude, we raised $1.3 million.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And you guys just went there recently, right?
Yeah.
How was that?
A lot.
Yeah.
I bet.
Moving is the simplest way to describe it. It's definitely not something you expect. It's not a feeling that you go into it and you're like, oh yeah, it'll be fine. Mm-hmm. It's it's something that I think you can only truly experience. You only know that feeling when you go there and see it. You know, you have Absolutely. To see it with your own eyes to really understand like what St. Jude does and who they are and what you're contributing to by contributing to St. Jude. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not to be taken lightly. It's not like it's just St. Jude. No, it's like it's moving.
It definitely probably puts a lot in perspective for you actually now, like, raising that. I mean, of course, before you're thinking like, we're doing this for kids. We're, you know, I'm a parent. You know, it makes sense. It's helping people. I worked in a children's hospital for 5 years, and I gotta say, like, even though, like, a lot of the times the work sucked, but what I was doing mattered. You know what I mean? And it felt good to be like some small part of that, and to see some of these kids that come through there, and they are, you know, tons of different, you know, ailments, from, you know, the kids that are there for, you know, very, you know, like leukemia or whatever. And actually, one of the doctors there was I worked for a hospital called Nemours. One of the doctors there was one of the leading doctors for primordial dwarfism.
Wow.
And so these are not like, you know, regular little people. They would look like dolls. And so you would be at lunch and you would look over and you would see this child who was like, I don't know, a foot and a half tall or something like that. And it would like, you'd be like, oh my God. It's crazy, but it's such a feeling, like, to go into one of those places that it's very, very overwhelming. But it's, you know, but what you did and all that money is just, it, you know, it's such a huge help.
Here's ultimately the culmination of all that, at least in my head, is that before I went there, it was, we raised this much money. I mean, so far, I think in 2019, the 4 Mil and Paul shirt did 167,000 for St. Jude. Clipster Kids did 300,000 total, and my channel did a little over 200K of that. But before I went there, it was going to be one of those like, okay, we raised this much money, we contributed in this way, that's great. You know, let's see what's going on next year. You know, see if we can match it. Now that I've been there and I've seen it, it's more of like it's not enough. Mm-hmm. It's still not enough. It's still not enough. It doesn't matter how much it is, it's still not enough. Because, dude, like, there's nothing like seeing... I've told this story on stream. I've talked about this on stream. So some people will probably have heard this already. There's nothing like seeing a mother walk down a hallway like everything is normal with her child curled up in a ball with an iPad and a wagon. She's pulling the wagon and the kids in the back. And it's just like, you can't describe it. I've never seen that before in person. It's not like the kid wasn't in pain or anything like that. It wasn't like the kid was, but it was, they've just been through chemo treatment. Mm-hmm. And so they can't walk themselves. So mom's got them in a wagon. And it's like, come on. It just hurts to see. And so when I see that stuff, all I can think is like, I hate to do it because I know it gets old. And, you know, there's all these different stigmas about streamers that are successful. They say, you know, people say, oh, you know, you have so much money. Why don't you just donate the money yourself? I'm like, I do. Mm-hmm. I do that. I don't talk about all of it, but I do that. The other day I had Sia's stream up. She does Just Dance, and Sam and I were sitting on the couch. I didn't talk about this on stream, and I never will. We're sitting there, and her goal's like 25K over the course of like a month or something. I don't remember exactly what it was. She's like 2,700. So I donated a grand because I have a grand. Mm-hmm. And she's raising money for St. Jude. So I'm like, okay, here you go. Boom, another 1,000 on top of the other stuff. And people always, there are some people, don't get me wrong, not everybody's like this. There's it's not like it's some mindset of, wow, Lupo's an awful person, he's good money, blah. you know, like the internet can be sometimes. Mm-hmm. But they don't need to know everything. And I'm not doing it for. Samantha, do you remember the term charity clout?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
It's so gross.
Look, that is pretty.
You know, I mean,
like, the only reason they're raising my charity clout, I'm like,
I've never heard that term before, but it is gross. It's very,
yeah. People are always gonna be ready to shit on things, and you're right. Nobody needs to know everything and what you do or don't do.
But like, of all the streamers on Twitch, do you really think that I need charity clout the most, whatever the fuck that actually is?
Yeah.
Or I'm not out here trying to get attention with it. I'm trying to help kids fight cancer. I got real lucky. I say it every single time. I got real, real lucky to get the position that I'm in. And people say dumbass stuff. And yeah, I mean, it's just dumbass stuff. It's ignorable.
You know what? I wouldn't say it's all luck, because, you know, I mean, we talk about it all. I mean, you're a good guy. You're very charismatic. People enjoy watching you. I wouldn't say it's all luck, but I do think that, you know, that part of you, you know, people recognize that and see, it's just part of it. It's part of why people gravitate towards you. And another question, how did the kids react when they saw you?
It was pretty cool being able to like sit down and talk to people that have seen me and like watch me on Twitch and stuff, and mm-hmm. be able to play. It's like, you know, it was like meeting any other fan, and that in itself, that is good,
mm-hmm.
because St. Jude is about normalcy. It's about bringing kind of this sense of everything is just like it always is back to these kids that are fighting pretty horrible stuff. And so like, I appreciated that. I liked that about it, is that I didn't feel like I was some necessarily any different than any other day. I wanted it to be normal for them, and let's face it, them dumpstering me in Smash Brothers and friggin' and Mario Kart felt pretty normal to me. Okay, I tried myself all the way. You know what I mean? Like that. Yeah. That was good. I liked that about it, because I wouldn't have it any other way, I think.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, yeah, just. To circle back, and people shitting on you, and well, you know, you're bringing in all this dough. Why don't you just do it? It's great that you do, but I can't believe that some people don't realize that no matter what the endeavor, the collective is always going to be bigger than the individual. You know what I mean? Right. Like you can mobilize a group of people that, you know, they watch you every day, or they will tell their friends, hey, the streamer that I watch is doing this charity drive. And what was the number you put up? 1.3 million, you said?
Last
like, give me a fucking break if anybody's gonna say, why don't you do that? You know what I mean? Like,
it's mostly trolls. And
I was looking at it here, and St. Jude, it's a remarkable hospital down there in the States, and in that it's free to the patient. It costs almost $3 million a day to run that place. Yeah. And it's free to the patient. And I'm not gonna get too high on my soapbox here, but you guys know I think there's a lot better ways to do it. Mm-hmm. And how we do things here is not perfect in Canada, but it baffles me that people pay to save their kids.
Right.
You know, absolutely. Not in St. Jude, but in other places.
Oh, absolutely. Do they have something akin to St. Jude in Canada, Stu? Like,
we have Sick Children? Kids Hospital in Toronto. There's a couple other big ones. I think one in Calgary, one in Montreal. Here in Toronto is Sick Kids.
Yeah, I apologize. I don't mean to sound insensitive, but for some reason, the name Sick Kids Hospital just sounds funny.
Like, I was thinking the same thing. Like,
what other kind of hospitals are going to be? Like,
it's specific for children, though. It's like in the similar vein as St. Jude's.
It's, like,
Jude's,
they, it's like they got real lazy, like thinking of the name. They're like, oh, should we call it like Mary Catherine Gallagher's Hospital for Children?
I know that's somebody's. Please, when you're listening back to this, please. Just know I feel really bad about laughing at that, but it's just very, very, very funny to hear that. Oh yeah, it's taking them to the Sick Kids Hospital, as opposed to what other kind of hospital? Like what other kind of? You know what I mean?
Toronto General, Mount Sinai, Sunnybrook, Southlake. Like, You know,
I went to Dumb Adults Hospital when I put the drill through my finger.
Oh my god!
The point is that it's a remarkable hospital in the States, and what you're able to do, and the collective effort of not just you but everybody that does it through Let's Play and all that other shit for St. Jude, it's amazing, you know.
Yeah.
And
absolutely,
I
don't know how people can say any bad things about it.
One of my accounts is actually Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and that place is so awesome, and it's growing all the time. Like they're building like another new part of it now, I think. But back in it was back around Christmas time. We had to take I don't know if you guys remember, but Josh was like really sick for like 3 weeks and he had like this awful fever. It just would not go away. And we couldn't figure out what it is. Like, we're like, it's a virus. Like, oh, like what is it? And so we finally went to the emergency room. Cause we were like, you know, saying to our pediatrician, like, what the fuck is going on with our kid? Like, we've brought him into you like 3 times and you're not doing anything. And so, you know, because basically they're saying like, oh, it's a virus. It'll go away in a couple weeks. You know, just, you know.
Sounds familiar. You know,
just sounds like, super familiar.
Yeah, they're like, you know, just do Motrin and Tylenol, then Motrin and Tylenol. Yeah, like, okay, we got it. But it was just, it was a lot. Song. And so finally we went to CHOP. And you know, I've been there quite a few times, like broken bones.
Okay. Sick Kids is hilarious, but CHOP.
They call it CHOP.
That is true.
Well, wow. Don't be insensitive. Come on, Stu. Jeez.
The sister hospital is Suey. Like, come on.
Yeah. But we go there, and it's Christmas time, and one of the nurses comes in, like, you know, we're in there, and they bring, you know, all these games for Josh, and, you know, of course they had to take blood, and they do all these things to distract him, and they have these people coming in there that are just like, everybody is just so personable and just so great with these kids, like, there is nobody that comes in there with a chip on their shoulder, like, I'm a doctor, you're an asshole parent, what do you know? Like, everybody, they over-explain everything. But one of the nurses comes up, she's like, hey, we have this room at the end of the hallway. It's like, you know, it's Santa's Secret Workshop. Go in there and pick anything you want and bring it back to Josh. So they take me down the hall, and I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be this room with, like, these little, you know, trinkets or whatever. And I walk into this big room, and it's like, I'm 41 years old. I walked in there. I was like, I want to be in this fucking room. Like, there were toys from floor to ceiling, like, for boys and girls, like all kinds of shit. And not just, like dumb toys, like, really cool toys. So I go in there, and I pick, like, this, like, die-cast Fast and Furious car. And, like, it's huge. Like, and so I picked this, and I was like, I could just take this? They're like, yeah, go ahead. They're like, do you have other kids? I was like, yeah, but they're not here. They're like, well, go ahead, pick something for them, too. So I had, like, I picked up, like, a couple board games for my older kids, because it seemed to be there was a lot of those left over. No one wanted to take the board game.
Yeah.
So, like, but went back, and it was just, like, it's just such an awesome experience. Like, every time I go in there, like my middle son, he was diagnosed with Lyme disease. Which
that sounds,
I know,
familiar.
Yeah. Samantha, you, how is that going for you? Are you,
So I've been technically diagnosed, for 2 months as of yesterday, and I have one more month where she wants me to, my doctor, to be on all these supplements to see if it makes any kind of change. Mm-hmm. And, I can tell the days that I don't have them right away in the morning, but it's not noticeable enough for me to be like, I can do every day like this. So now we'll get to the point in a month or so, I'll go back and we'll look at probably medications for me to take too.
How did you find out that you had it?
My doctor took a blood test after. There's a little bit before that.
Yeah.
But literally my doctor just ran a test for everything. Cause I told her, because about 2 years ago, I went to see our regular doctor, and I was like, I'm just always tired. Mm-hmm. And I had just had Charlie maybe 6 to 9 months before that. Yep. And I just had gotten over the flu a couple of months prior to that. And so she's like, you're probably just tired cause you're a mom and you just got sick. But we'll run some tests. And she ran some tests, and it wasn't like the first level. It wasn't like mono or anything like that. She's like, come back in a couple of weeks, give me my results. Okay, let's run some more tests. So draw more blood. I hate needles, by the way. Despise them.
Mm-hmm.
So runs more tests with more blood. And then she's going through and she's looking at autoimmune diseases like lupus and stuff like that. I end up going through four stages of like it could be this most likely all the way down to not likely at all. And she just came up with the consensus that I just had a leftover virus from a flu. Mm-hmm. And it could take up to a year for it to get out of my body.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, so I'm just supposed to stay like this for a year? And she's like, well, if you need like a little extra boost, you can drink some caffeine if you need to. But I can't have caffeine.
I'm going to prescribe you Red Bull.
Yeah. And I haven't had caffeine since I was in seventh grade. So I'm coming up on almost 2 decades of not having caffeine. And so I can't do that. And I spent the past year, I changed my diet. So I'm gluten-free and dairy-free and egg-free. And I limit out a lot of other stuff as well to see if that maybe helped. It only helped basically just, it helped a lot for my inner workings of my body. But not tiredness. And I finally was like, I just need a new doctor. I'm sick of this. This is not a normal amount of tired. I understand that everybody's tired because we all have things that we do, but this is not what a person should be feeling like every single day. My sister-in-law recommended me to somebody because she's a nurse, and I walked in and I said, hey, this is my situation. And she's like, well, let me go pull your records. And I was like, don't treat me like you don't know anything about me. You have one shot to get as much blood as you need. Run every single test you can think of.
Stick me with needles!
10 vials of blood.
Oh, my God.
You beat me.
10 large vials of blood. And I was the whole entire time, I was like, are we done yet? And she's like, are you going to need to sit for or like rest for a minute after this? I'm like, yeah.
Meanwhile, they're like pumping you with juice and cookies on the other end.
Yeah. So she took the blood. She also ordered a sleep test, a sleep study for me, because she's like, maybe you're narcoleptic. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, if I am, then there's things that you can do to deal with that. And she's having me track my sleep. So I got, you know, the fun Fitbit stuff going on all the time. And yeah. I'm not narcoleptic. That all came back normal. 2 weeks after taking all that blood, she's like, hey, you have a positive marker for Lyme disease. I'm going to run the next step level of test to make sure that it's not a false positive. And I'll give you a call back in another week. And there we are. So it's been so long that I have no chance of being cured from it. So I'm stuck. I'm very arthritic. In my knees especially, but just my joints kind of flare up all over the place. But
yeah. You're my old lady.
Yeah, I'm a very at 32, I'm a very old lady.
Don't worry, you're just like me. I think I'm 29, which I'm not. I have the humor of a 12-year-old, and my body asks me daily if I'm sure I'm not dead.
Basically. So,
yeah, that's kind of how like
I dislocated this shoulder like 3 years ago and it never worked right. And I don't know what the fuck happened, but this one stopped working like 2 weeks ago. I'm totally fucked.
We're all falling apart.
Pretty soon I won't be able to put on deodorant, which is going to introduce a whole other bunch of problems.
I guess I understand Samantha's problem really good. You know, I went through starting back in December. It's like, hey, you're a little anemic. So you know what the cure to that is? We're going to take blood every 2 weeks from you. I'm not making enough, but okay. And I got through what, 4 different doctors before they went, oh yeah, your kidneys are failing. Have fun with that. And it's like,
jeez.
So yeah, now I'm pretty much a vegan. So I've had to do like the whole, here's my new diet, and here's
you
the
had
whole
you had system. Restricted diet prior too, correct?
Yeah. Well, I've been lactose intolerant for years, and then I'm diabetic, and now I'm on a renal diabetic diet. And I knew someone who's a nurse and he's like, so basically you eat lettuce? And I'm like, yeah, that's not very funny, but
lots of stuff.
You need to get that impossible
you're
burger.
Not.
It's kale time. Called?
Impossible burger.
There's the impossible burger. There's the Beyond burger. What do you want to talk about? I have had them all at this
point. I don't know. I want to try that. Actually,
do you have a good vegan burger. Mac and cheese? Please.
No. I haven't found a good mat.
No, because that's not the answer that she wanted. Oh,
that is okay. So I'm missing two things in my life. I'm missing flaky, fluffy biscuits like the Grands or Crescent Rolls. Missing those in my life. I'm missing mac and cheese.
The mac, if you try Amy's brand, they're about as close as you can get to that stuff.
I haven't tried yet. And
I actually live off of their, like, Amy's brand foods now because they have a lot of certified vegan stuff.
Okay.
And they taste really good.
So glad we're here tonight.
Well, you had someone actually hit you on Twitter like, hey, this, and I'm like, oh, I can respond to that one.
Yeah. What was it? We had an ice cream discussion one night. What was it about? It was like lactose intolerant ice cream or something.
Oh, yeah,
like
and
that
she brought a Halo Top.
Oh, yeah, Halo Top. That's right.
We actually had my in-law stopped in yesterday, and my wife put out a charcuterie board, and that's like fucking kryptonite to me because I'm self-diagnosed lactose intolerant in that I know when I eat it, bad things happen to me. So I'm
going to get shit cannon later.
I bet you 99% of an adult population is lactose intolerant.
So there's a real study out there. Once you hit the age 30, you have a 1 in 10% or 1 out of 10 people is lactose intolerant.
It's like dairy in general. I can get by without it, except for fucking cheese. And the worst part is this all happened when I learned I love cheese. It all kind of coincided.
Because
this stuff smells like shit. It tastes gross and I love it. And I can't eat it because my stomach is like, it's just rebellion.
I'm fine with cheese. I can eat all the cheese, but it's like if I have ice cream, it's fucking over. And I learned that the hard way.
Get the So Delicious cashew milk ice cream.
Oh, that one's good too.
I don't typically eat a lot of ice cream. I'm not like a dessert person at home, but when we go on vacation, we go to the shore and, you know, every single night after going on the boardwalk or whatever we do, the kids always want to stop and get ice cream. So then I would have ice cream and I'd get like halfway through my cone and be like, we got to get the fuck out of here. Like, you guys need to hurry up. We got to get back to the
house. Or everyone else has ice cream with chocolate and you're over here and you're like, I have sherbet.
Well, that's the thing is like now I'll have like, you know, like Polish water ice or something like that or sherbet or something instead of ice cream.
Still good.
Yeah, which is still good. Yeah.
Same.
Just want chocolate.
But we found out my son had it. He plays hockey and he woke up one morning and he was like, my knee hurts. And I did what every good dad would do. I said, son, walk it off. Get up. It's time to go to school. You'll be okay. I felt it. I was like, yeah, be a fucking man. Get out of bed. No. But I was like, nah, you didn't do anything, whatever. And, you know, he complained about it and we were like, all right, well, we'll take him to the doctor. And basically they were like, oh, we think he tore something. He needs like an ultrasound or, you know, a scan or whatever. And then I had to go away for work for the week. My wife called me up. So they went to go take him in for a scan and they were like, has he had a blood test for Lyme disease? We're like, no, why the fuck would he have that? And they were like, we're not going to do the scan until you go get the blood test for Lyme disease. Like, all right. And meanwhile, he's been walking on a crutch for like a week because that's what they did, you know, at like the local emergency room. And so they had the test and, you know, my wife called me and she was like, he's got Lyme disease. I'm like, fuck, well, you know, and I didn't know what that meant. But all of a sudden, you know, within 24 hours, you become an expert on Lyme disease from
real quick. Yeah.
Yeah. You learn about it really fucking quick. And so I'm guessing
suddenly thrust upon you the situation, you know?
Yeah. So that was it. You know, we thought that he had torn something in his knee or something like that, but it wasn't. It was just the achy joints, and you know, they gave him like a fucking shit ton of antibiotics, and I'm guessing we had caught it, you know, quick enough where, you know, it kind of, you know, thankfully it cleared up for him, but you know, they said it could still flare up, and if it does, then we'll take care of it from there. But you know, thankfully he, you know, really hasn't had any issues. Every once in a while, you know, he'll be like, he'll be more tired than others or something like that. But
yeah,
joints wise, he's been okay.
The thing I kind of, from the outside, not like there's something wrong with you, baby, but from the outside, it's one of those things where you kind of have to change your mindset about what's going on, because she'll get tired at admittedly pretty inopportune times sometimes. And you have to kind of put it in your head that it's She can't do anything about it. Like it's physically impossible for her to stop it. It just happens. She's just.
I fell asleep at my desk today at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
But you did?
Yeah. I was editing pictures, and all of a sudden I realized that I was asleep.
For real?
Chair. Yeah.
You didn't tell me that? That's so cute. I'm sorry to make light of it, but that's so cute.
It was before that, because it was before lunch. It was about 11:30 then, because then I immediately got up and I slept until it was time to feed everybody for lunch.
I'm actually mad you didn't tell me this.
Sorry.
I'm heated now.
So
that's
we're learning.
Sorry.
Basically, they're gonna probably put me on the awake agent, like the buzz agent of Adderall, and see how that works. As a person that absolutely loves science and medicine and all that kind of stuff, I think it's fascinating. I hate the idea of having to rely on something like that, because deep down I am very a natural person and stuff. So. Mm-hmm. A big internal struggle to figure out how I'm gonna feel about that, but if it helps, it helps. I'd rather not have to say, Charlie, I can't play with you because mommy needs to take a 20-minute nap right now.
That's a pretty big kicker.
How is Charlie doing? How's things as he's evolving as a small human?
He's so smart.
Yeah,
like everyone says, their kid is smart, and I'm sure, but he's.
Your kids
very
are smart, but our kid is really fucking smart.
Our kid is better.
Okay, so I guess he speaks very eloquently for a 3.5-year-old.
Yeah, he does.
So, like, if he doesn't understand what you're saying, instead of being like, what? Or, huh? He says, what did you say?
Mm-hmm. He says the whole thing out. It's really kind of weird.
Yeah, he has a very, very old soul when it comes to his speech kind of thing, I guess. Like. It's crazy, but he's amazing, and he's again super smart and obsessed with trains, and he's
also a snot sometimes.
Yeah, he went
into that video of him. I guess you posted it the other day. It was like you were telling him to stop people from like copyright infringing.
Yeah, on YouTube. I've been doing that. I've been doing that more and more. So one of the things that I make very clear to people is that I would prefer if they did not take content that had my family in it. Put it on their YouTube and make money off of my wife, my son, and my mom. And so now what I've been doing is when he gets on the stream, one of the first things I'll have him say is, by the way, if you steal this, I'll issue a copyright strike. And people laugh, chat laughs. And I'm like, good, laugh. I'm serious. I don't care. I will slay if I need to. Like, you take stuff of me and put it on your Fortnite highlight videos and all that crap. Do whatever you want. You don't get the money. If anybody is going to be monetizing my child, it's going to be me.
Hell yeah.
I'm serious, though.
Well, fuck yeah. Of course you are. Why wouldn't you be?
All I'm hearing is they're raising Sheldon Cooper. He's really smart and loves trains.
Basically. Oh, I'd be okay with that.
Tell me that's bad. You can't.
What kind of stuff is he? What kind of stuff is he into now?
Other than trains, trains, cars, building stuff. He actually is really into telling jokes.
Yeah,
and
oh God.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So his jokes will be like, I'm going to tell you a funny joke. And you're like, okay. And he would go, blah, blah, blah. And then he starts busting out laughing. And you're like,
oh, that's a joke from Hotel Transylvania.
He thinks that he is the most hilarious living thing. And the coolest.
I think he's hilarious.
He thinks he's the coolest living thing, too. All the time he's like, I'm going to do something funny. Like he does his own little jackass type stunts and stuff like that. Like a couple of
hey, mommy, this is what I call train wrecking.
A couple of nights ago, he was popping the large bubble packaging that you get in shipments and stuff. And then he decided that it would be funny to put it on the hardwood floor, run across the whole entire house, and slide on his knees on it into the wall.
Oh my God. Oh,
there it is. He had me dying.
He is a boy. You know, I have two girls, and my daughter would do similar shit, but not to that extent, not crashing into the wall. She would do it and set it up in a hallway and go sliding down the hallway because girls are smart. And, you know, Charlie, I'm sure, is a smart kid, but he's a boy, and we are simple creatures.
You know what, though? I've always wanted a little boy. Like when I was in kindergarten, you're playing house with all your friends or Barbies, or whatever. I always had a little boy, and just because I just knew that's I would have been fine as a girl.
But I always wanted an S5, but instead I got another kid. So
I jokes wanted on a me. Little boy, and I ended up with two girls 9 years apart. So, you know, I'm living the dream.
You know what?
Cards get dealt a little differently. Okay, it's all right.
I can tell you, having both, my boys are so much easier than my dad. Well, my daughter's also 14 now. And she's so hard on a lot of levels. We went through a big change this week.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Oh,
God. So, that's a good start when you start like that. So
I was at the store tonight. We got home from a Coors concert, and I just put my phone on mute. And so my phone was still on mute when I had to go run to the grocery store to get, like, just a few things that we needed. And I get home, and my wife's like, you better fucking get back to that store. You didn't answer your phone. I called you 17 times. We need ice cream now. And I was like, all right, I'm out of here. I'm just like, we need to get this fucking ice cream in the house. I was like, she's going to come down here, and she's going to be pissed. I'm fucking gone. So I had to, like, run
I'm
out.
Sorry.
Like, ran into the store, grab Haagen-Dazs, and get the fuck home. But, yeah, girls are exponentially more difficult. Like,
as
my boys,
a female, I can attest to that.
I mean, my boys, the hardest thing I have to do is, like, keep them from killing themselves on a daily basis.
Yay!
You know,
the worst thing
girls,
a boy could
like
do.
Like emotional warfare.
Oh
too.
My gosh!
The worst thing a boy could do is ruin a girl's life. But that might be your girl. You know, and and I'm just gonna ask a question, Justin.
Yeah.
Picture 30, 40 years into the future. Who the hell is taking care of you and your wife?
Oh, no, it's most definitely.
Yeah, I mean, come
it's
on.
It's most definitely my daughter.
I have two sisters, and I tell my parents all the time, you guys are so fucking lucky you hedged your bets here. Because if it was up to me, I got like three retirement homes on retainer. Like, I'm ready to go with these guys.
I hope that someday she, because right now she doesn't realize it. Like, right now she takes everything for granted. She's constantly asking me for money, like, every single day. It's like, it's been the end of the year, and it's like, you know, she's going to high school next year, which in and of itself is fucking crazy.
Holy
to think
shit.
That I have a child who is in high school. Like, you can't tell somebody that and get away with, like, being, like, cool and young. It's like, they're in middle school. You'd be like, oh, they're, like, they're in sixth grade. They're little kids. But now you're like, I have a kid in high school. That means, like, you got a fucking teenager and, you know, like, it's some serious shit.
It's one of those things that you don't, like, you can't imagine. So, like, when you're younger, you know, and you're talking about having a family, and you can imagine, like, having a toddler running around or whatever, but you don't ever be like, I'm so excited to have a high schooler one day.
No.
Well, I was no one's ever said that.
I was sitting talking with my wife the other night, and my daughter was talking about something, like, she's so old, right? Like, said something funny. And I looked at her, I was like, remember how long it took to be 21, like, until you could find, like, yeah, I'm 21, I could drink. Like, that's when you kind of felt like you were more of an adult. Like, yeah, technically you're an adult at 18, but 21 felt like, you know, adult. You can pretty much do everything except for, you know, become president. You know what I mean?
Rent a car.
Yeah, and rent a car. And so I was like, I've been 21 twice, and the second 21 fucking flew by like that, and I didn't even know it. And here she's like 14, and she thinks she's like the oldest, like, she's seen everything, you know what I mean? And she does, she fucking,
old soul now,
she knows everything. You can't tell her anything, but I'm hoping, like you said, like, someday she'll have the presence of mind to think back, and instead of, like, all the time she yelled at me because I wasn't fast enough getting her to school by 6:45 in the morning for choir 4 days a week, you know, she'll look back and be like, wow, my parents were really good to me. Now I'm going to take care of them.
Wait, you have a boy. This is not your future. Your future is you're going to be like waking him up like, you need to go to school. No, Mom, I'm good.
Yeah. I can't wait for that day, because right now he gets up at 5 in the morning.
Oh, boy.
I don't like sleeping alone.
That is a big yikes.
Hey, so it took him 45 minutes tonight to go to bed, not 2 hours. I'm happy.
Wait, really?
Yeah, he came out 3 times, and every single time I threatened to take a toy away, I grabbed one toy at one point, and then he he said, "Mommy, I'm so sorry. I promise to stay in bed if you give me my toy back." And I put it back on his bed. Never came out.
Wait, for real?
You just wait till he starts calling your bluff, because that's what my daughter started doing about a year ago. We're like, "Oh yeah, well, I'm gonna take away the Anna and the Elsa doll." And she's like, "Okay, do it." I did. I'm like, "What else do you want to lose?" She's like, "Take that one."
As I was closing the door, he's like,
arm full of fucking dolls. I'm like, "That'll show her."
There's nothing in your room. As I was closing the door,
she's chuckling as I'm on my way out. I'm like, "Son of a bitch, she got me."
Yeah. As I'm closing the door, he's like, "Mommy, I'm so angry with you right now."
He has so many emotions. But he's really good now at like expressing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's still pissed at you.
Yeah.
Except when he tries to cover your mouth.
Oh, that's so you
stop talking.
Yeah,
Jimmy knows that. Yeah, that's infuriating.
How much?
I might sit on him. Might just do it. You okay with that, baby?
Mm-hmm.
Sick. Good.
How much free time do you guys get like together? Because Ben, I know you. I mean, you probably have to stream like pretty regularly, like every day. You know, to keep things, kind of relevant. You know what I mean?
So I wake up at anywhere between 7 and 8. I've been sleeping in a little bit because we've been staying up late. Samantha. Actually, it's my fault. I've been making us watch TV shows and stuff for bed because I'm like...
That's good, because the look on her face when you said that was...
I would have been in bed 4 hours ago if it was my choice.
Yeah. No, so I get up, shower, have breakfast, which is, and, you know, that morning stuff. So I would say I get probably about... half hour, 45 minutes with family in the morning, and then I go to work all the way until about 4. And then if there's like a call, sometimes it's at 4:30. So I'm gonna yawn. Sorry for triggering everyone that's listening right now. Yeah. To yawn. I got every single one. And then depending on like the afternoon schedule for things, I'm usually upstairs anywhere between 4:30 and 5:15 ish. We'll have dinner and we'll play with Charlie for a while. And then he goes to bed. We start the bedtime process at 7:30. So I guess we probably get about
two hours. Yeah. 2 to 3 hours probably
there. And then Samantha and I get usually between a half hour and an hour, maybe a little longer if we're watching and crying over Game of Thrones being over.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys caught up?
Yes.
Yeah, we watched it all.
Do you want to do... Oh, we haven't done this in a couple weeks. If we finish up... Well, I don't know how long this is going to go, but we've done it once. Maybe we'll do like a Game of Thrones spoiler review. Because we did it once where we were doing like, we're going to do a spoiler review after the show. And we did it. And it was like, I don't know, like 5 minutes or so of us like telling what we thought about it. And I don't know. Maybe we'll do that tonight. Not making any promises. Carry on. Sorry. Yeah.
But that's like the course of a normal day. I spend quite a bit of time doing the little, like, it was a lot of meticulous stuff with stream. I got to get everything running, make sure everything's set up correctly. If I have a sponsored thing, I got to get prepped for that. There's a lot of stuff like that, that kind of extends the amount of time that I don't have to hang out with my family.
But if you think about it, a lot of people are like, you should hang out with your family more and yada, yada, yada. But anybody with a regular 9-to-5 job, that they get home between 5 and 6, and then their kid goes to bed at 7:30 anyways, and you take 2 days off a week. So you take all day Wednesday off, usually, unless there's something going on or you're traveling. And then you take Sunday during the day off. So you still get the same 2 days off that every other person with a standard job has. So a lot of people will give us grief and stuff like that. Yeah. And say like, he works too much.
Yeah, I don't think people fully understand what having a family looks like for most people, because what you're describing is normal.
Yeah.
I leave the house at 7:30 in the morning, and if I get home at 7 o'clock, it's like, oh, Dad, you're home early, and I'm like, yeah, fuck, I am. I mean, I'm on a pretty big project right now for the foreseeable future, but last week I saw my kids twice during the week, like, and I mean, in passing, like, okay, good night, you're already in bed, see you later, and that was it. So,
Schedule looks like for people, and they
you do what you got to do.
Yeah,
you know, and
exactly.
You like, happen to have what I think in 2019 is still a developing industry. It's still kind of a new type of job for people to wrap their heads around. Yeah, people raising a family with. So I get that there's kind of confusion on it.
Yeah. So we just try to be really, really open with everybody when people are like, when do you see your family and why don't you hang out with your kid? And we're like, we do.
It's not all cranking 90s, all right?
We do. We hang out as a family all the time, just like anybody else with a standard job. And in when we have our family days, we try really, really hard. It doesn't always work, but we try really, really hard to be off the internet, not talk about work, not think about work. It usually creeps back in, but we put a solid effort into it.
Internet. I really like you guys. You're pretty nice.
During our last date night, we went out to dinner and we're like, we're not going to talk about work. But then something came up last minute that we had to discuss that evening. And I was like, dang it.
if we don't talk about work and like look at the internet, how am I going to know who's suing FaZe this time?
Speaking of Justin, we need to renegotiate my contract or I'm going to be launching legal proceedings.
I'll negotiate it for the final episode.
Oh God!
Everybody gets Porsches like on Seinfeld. So I was like scrolling through Twitter the other day, and I haven't been as active on there. But I was like looking at, I don't know. I guess you had tweeted something, and I was looking at it, and I just kept seeing like the numbers just like tick, like just tick away on the likes and the comments and like. How do you manage that? Like what was the change like from, you know, like a couple years ago where, a couple years ago, maybe you had like a few thousand followers or something like that to like now where it's like massive. Like, how do you even manage like a mention? Like, how do you find some, like even a friend that says, you know what I mean? Like, it must be so tough to weed through all of that stuff.
I'm going to hit you with the weirdest flex that I've ever I love you, but and this is gonna sound like it, but
weird flex, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. But the verified tab makes all that very easy.
Okay.
You click that, it only shows any interaction from other verified accounts. So like I just hit verified, I'm like, okay,
so I don't show up on there.
Like I said, the important stuff is in that verify. I'm just kidding,
peek behind the curtain, everybody.
Yeah. No, it that actually does help a lot because like I hit that, and the other thing that helps a lot is not giving a shit.
Yeah,
there are a lot of times like tonight I posted a clip. I'm looking like that window right now is on Streamlabs, so I don't even see Twitter. Just post the clip, forget about it. Don't even look at it. A lot of that stuff is like, there's just too much. I really wish I could interact with every single person. But also, if you look at the comment section, it's like, did you hear about Tfue? I'm like, nah, bro, tell me.
We would never see you if you interacted with every single comment.
There was even
a discussion on a tweet recently because I have a lot less followers, and so my mentions aren't as crazy. But so I saw the whole entire conversation. It was with
somebody off.
No. It was when my tweet about Charlie and we were listening to the World Cup and he heard them mention Cloak and he was is that my friend Cloak? And somebody, so Cloak responded and he said, hi, Charlie, or something like that. And a guy underneath there, just a random guy, was like, man, it sucks that you have to be famous in order to get a high. And people were coming to Cloak's defense and basically being like, he can't interact with everybody because otherwise he would have no life. And the guy comes back and he's like, yeah, but just even a like from your favorite streamer or something like that really makes somebody's day and they can take the time out to do that.
Let me like 800,000 comments. Just, you know,
you need to do is you just need to go to mentions and just hit all the hearts and. Even though there's going to be crappy ones in there, your percentage.
Because I'm gonna like a friend that's a female, and then you're gonna get tagged 50 times because I'm trying to. Have
oh
sex
shit!
With my
what's kid. Going on? What are you trying to? It is true that
trouble in the Lupo household.
It has that effect because I had tweeted out a photo or like a little clip of of Dylan getting like his first solo win, right? And I'm like coaching him, like, oh, go over here, you know, hit that guy, you know, hit him with a grenade launcher. And he got it, and he was like fucking freaking out. And I think the both of you liked the video. And as soon as that happened, it was just like, I'm like, who the fuck are all these people? Like, out of nowhere, you know? And it's, I don't know. It's just, it's crazy. It's like, it's that Lupo touch. It's like, oh, my shit's blown up.
Turn everything to chaos.
I'm
How is the traveling, though? Is, I mean, that's, yeah.
I'm leaving again Friday to go to LA, and then we never got the okay. I'm going overseas after that somewhere
for a day.
I'm taking
literally 6 hours.
It was a 14-hour flight to do a thing, and then getting back on a plane and coming home.
That's pretty crazy because, like, I mean, I kind of had that recently. I travel a lot for work and. Like, I guess about a month or so ago, like, typically when I travel, I go away for a few days to a week, you know, right? But my boss needed me to go to Boston, and I've always wanted to go to Boston. I've never been. He was like, I need you to go to Boston. So, oh, cool. How long are you going to be there for? I don't know. A couple hours. I'm like, fuck, what? So, like, it felt so weird to get on a plane and not have any luggage to worry about, like, just my, you know, my work bag. And, like, fly in. I literally drove to this place. I did 5 minutes of work. And then called an Uber and went right back to the airport. And then, I don't know, it's just, it's a really crazy thing to, like, not even spend any time in the place that you're going to. And I don't know.
It's jarring almost in a way that I think I wasn't really mentally prepared for. But at the same time, it's cool to be able to go places and see stuff. And I just, you know, I don't, without this job, I probably never would have had that opportunity, you know?
Bro, where the fuck are you going that takes 14 hours? It takes 9 hours to fly to Sweden from where you are. I'm trying to figure this shit out. I'm on the case.
He's sleuthing.
Detective Stu is on it.
Super sleuth.
I only know like six countries.
When's
though,
this
so.
Going to air?
Where in the world is Ben Lupo?
When's this air?
No, don't say tomorrow. Anything. No, don't say anything if you're on a non-disclosure.
Look
on social
tomorrow.
Media. You'll find out soon. We're just waiting for the 100% okay that we can...
Just ignore me.
I'm just jealous that I can't go.
Aha!
All right, so it's not Saudi Arabia.
I don't even know where it's at. But I don't, I'm
not Saudi Arabia. No. Anyway.
Not a game development hub.
Here's another question. So you got to go out to one of the... we don't really talk about Destiny nearly as much as we used to. Yeah. You got to go out to one of the summits, right? Yeah. Or did you go... They had two, right?
Yeah, I went to the first one.
You went to the first one. How do you feel about, you know, there's a lot of people who are upset that they think that content creators are influencing the way that the games are being made, that they're more, what's being created now is more for the content creators than for the regular players. Like, what's your take on that?
They're idiots. I mean, it's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. A game developer that develops a game specifically for a content creator is asking for Death Wish, and no one, there would be mass exodus, and there'd be riots in the streets, mass hysteria, cats and dogs living together. It would be that's not the case. Because if that were the case, man. Some games play way different than they do. I was putting that out there. But obviously influencers, I mean, even just by the name, are going to influence by the name decisions in certain games like that when they're brought on board for consultation, because that's literally why they bring us on board. Homie, I sit and play video games all friggin' day.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have me commentary, input on that kind of thing. Someone who I'd like to imagine that I'm at least relatively well spoken. I'm educated. I have the ability to formulate whole ideas.
Yeah, you speak real good.
You speak good.
You talk good.
Thank you. But like, I would like to imagine that people would rather have me out there than necessarily somebody who I would. I mean, like, there are people that play a couple hours a night. Maybe a couple nights a week, and that's it. Do you want their input? Do you want my input?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want my input on the game.
And there are forums out there for that reason. But they're not going to bring those specific people directly to like an event for their direct input, because that would be a waste of time.
Well, their reach is so small in comparison. It's like thousands of birds with one stone, basically.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you guys had seen the article that was floating around. I saw it on Forbes, Forbes.com, about EA and Respawn paying for people to play Apex.
Yep, and I was one of those people.
Oh, 100%. You were quoted in the article.
Yep.
But it makes sense. Fuck Kotaku. You have a captive audience that comes to you knowing you're playing a game. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to. They don't know what game it is that day. You know, you play a pretty good variety, and a lot of people do. But you're marketing through a gamer to gamers, people who are interested in games in general. No shit, companies are starting to figure out that this is a more efficient use of their dollars.
On top of that, like, if you look at, imagine it this way. You've been watching me for long enough, and anybody that's listening, if you've watched me at all, I have said no to some deals, a lot of games, and some non-game, even non-endemic brand stuff, aka like non-gaming related stuff, that have been a lot of money. But it's not me. Why would I say yes to a deal that is just very plainly not me? So, obviously, regardless of the money's not really the issue. It's that my brand is hopefully trustworthy. People have been watching me for literally years.
Yeah.
And so they've seen Charlie grow. I've exposed my family to the internet. My mom sits down here and I played Fortnite with her, and Sam and I play stuff all the time. Like there's a layer of trust that I put it out there and I say, this is me. Hopefully by exposing this side of my life, I gain your trust. And therefore going forward, if something comes up, then you'll trust me about it. And I've also said no to a lot of imagine a BR game. I'm playing Fortnite like crazy, a competitive, and I don't mean like in terms of gameplay, I mean like relative to Fortnite, comes out that is fast paced on the Titanfall engine that rewards skill, that has different basically classes, got different characters to play. Like, I'm going to play that no matter what. So if someone says, hey, you can either play it or you can play it for money, what do you think I'm going to do? Nah, I don't need this money that you're just off. Yeah, of course I'm going to friggin' play it for money. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. Pay me. Sure. Like, I'm going to do it anyway. But if they offer it up and say, we're doing this thing,
would you like some money?
Like, it's a no-brainer. It doesn't say anything about my
nobody character. Would turn it down.
At work, like, we get incentivized to do what we would normally do anyway. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, you go out and sell this or go out and do this, and we're going to pay you extra for that. I'm going to do it.
I don't get paid for doing something I would do anyways. There's not a fucking chance in hell I would be doing this if they were paying me. I tell them every day, fuck you, pay me, or I'm not doing this.
Ultimately, the point is that I'm trying to make here is that so I'm going to play this game anyway. You've known me for years. The other side of that is writer XYZ, you know, John Smith. Do you know John Smith? You guys all know John Smith. He wrote this review for a game that you're interested in. But do you know him? Have you watched him for years? Do you trust him? No. You know, I mean, like, if you had to pick between watching, oh, Loop's playing this game, I'm gonna watch him, I was interested anyway, or reading John Smith's article, who are you gonna watch?
Even see the game.
Yeah. Like, a lot of these sites do a really good job, like embedding videos, and like they make media for it. But it's just not the same as somebody you literally watch every single day. Like, I'm at work, I'm gonna pull up Lupo. I was playing with Tim and Tyler again. This would be hilarious. You know, I'm gonna crank out some code. I got headphones on, listen to these guys make fun of each other in the background. Cool. Oh, dude, look, it's Lupo's son. Let me pull a video up real quick. Oh, he's adorable. Cool. 3 days later, oh, Loop's doing a little ad bid here for Black Ops. Yeah, you know, Black Ops 4, like the Blackout portion of it. Mm-hmm. He played that a lot at release. There's new stuff coming for it. let's check it out. I would never watch this any other time, but Lupo's doing it and I trust him. So let's see what the deal is. And honestly, the Alcatraz stuff is pretty freaking cool, but I just don't enjoy playing certain things as much anymore. And so like right now I'm playing a lot of Kick You in the Balls Simulator, and it's a, those that don't know, that's Escape from Tarkov, and it does kick you right in the junk repeatedly. Man, today was so bad. But it ended ridiculously well, so that's good. But it's just like, my point being, yeah, people got paid to play Apex, but like the alternative is they didn't really spend much of that marketing money anywhere else. There's not really commercials for it.
No, and they didn't need to. They were like, oh, the game is out, and then people are playing it. Like, that, I mean, that's like the best kind, you know what I mean? And yep. I mean, people kind of knew like something was coming out over the weekend, you know, there was like rumblings, and there then all of a sudden it was just fucking out. Like,
it's interesting because it's this new avenue for companies to advertise directly to their consumers, to their core consumer base. But it's also like something that I got to keep reminding myself, I'm not that target audience anymore. So it's when I see these things where it's this non-traditional media, in my mind, I mean, I'm almost fucking 40. It's still a developing industry, but it's like, you're not selling it to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's a weird dichotomy. They're trying to sell me Buicks and fucking golf clubs now, not video games, but I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Quick thing. I was listening to my local radio station in Philadelphia. They're really good friends with Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I don't know if you guys watch the show ever.
Well, I'm aware.
So he's involved with the new Apple streaming service that's coming, I guess, maybe at the end of this year. There's like a whole, like a shitload of
fucking
people.
Streaming service?
Yeah, it's going to be Apple streaming service, and like Spielberg's going to have a series on it. Like, they had like a little trailer for it with all these new, you know, their own content that looks really good. Well, anyway, he has this series that's going to be on there. He's actually doing with Charlie Day about video game developers. And so he was talking about, and I think he was actually going to direct the Minecraft movie, but that like never happened. But they were asking him about like, you know, the research for it and stuff like that. And he was kind of equating, he said, okay, so Avengers made like what, $1.4 billion or something like that over like the weekend or a week or whatever. He was like, Red Dead Redemption 2 made $1 billion in 2 days. You know, he's like, you have all these people in the video game industry. He's like, can you tell me anybody that works in the video game industry? And they're like, no. He's like, you better believe you don't. And it drives them fucking insane. So it's like, you know, a dramedy, I guess, kind of thing about developers kind of behind the scenes and their egos and all this like crazy stuff. And so it sounds really, really cool. I mean, I'm definitely on board with that. And they're really, besides like Silicon Valley, there hasn't really been anything like that. But I don't know, just made me think of it. So what's like, and you don't have to say specifically if you don't want, but what's like the craziest thing that you were offered that you had to be like, that's gonna be a no for me, dog? Like, I'm not putting my name on that.
trying to think of,
without saying any names, remember that mobile game that we got that I was like, wait, what? Yeah, it was like a 2-hour stream for almost six figures for a game that I had never
heard.
It seemed like it was like not real money. Like, they were like creating this money out of thin air.
It was an absurd amount of money that they were offering.
Like, and I was just like, I don't, like, if you pull my stream up and I was like, all right guys, I'm streaming, you know, Glorious Earth 73 part 2 number 1. Yeah, there you go.
Like, I was just about to say, like, you can talk about the vajankle.
What the?
If you don't know what a vajankle is? Oh my gosh. Oh, boy, here we go.
This is like when a foot fetish just isn't enough. You got to take it to that next level.
We spent way too much time discussing the vajankle a few weeks
ago. And the vajarm pit and the vajelbo.
So,
the vajadam's apple, the vajor pit.
Oh. So, hey, you know, when you're into some weird shit, that's cool.
I prototyped a vajildo. Sorry. What was it called again? What did I call it? The dilled ankle. That's what I got. Yeah. The dilled ankle.
So I had found this thing, and I blamed it on Stu that Stu had found it, but I had found this thing called the Don't Ask Me How.
I did not.
Of a jankle, and it's basically like, it's a synthetic foot, and like if you cut the top of it off, cut it off like above the ankle, stop, and just put a vagina on top of it.
God. I'm just saying, it's slap like a little, thing. Slap that little D logo on there somewhere. You know, you can use code Dr. Lupo.
Dr. Lupo branded bajankles.
Use code Dr. Lupo.
Yeah,
scary.
So I remember the first time we turned down a really large amount of money for something. Nope. I'm not going to say the brand.
Don't say brands.
But it was a beverage.
You can type it in chat.
Oh, I remember that one.
It rhymed with Noca Snola.
No, not going to say any names. Not even going to hint at them. But yeah,
it was a beverage of some kind, and we said no before they even told us the money. Yep, and afterwards, they told us the money, and it was like I said, it was the first really big one that we were like.
Really?
And it was one of those moments we stared at each other like, can we pull this off? And they were like, no, we don't want to. We don't
see
wanna...
You guys have so much restraint. I would be like Garth in Wayne's World when all of a sudden he's like, you really sold out, man. He's got like Reebok and Pizza.
Some people just like, do it for money.
We just didn't want him looking like race car, basically.
Yeah, no. I'm just kidding. I'm
Ricky Bobby. Shit all over him.
Basically. I'm going to try and avoid that if possible.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy. How about like, what's been like has there been somebody who, you know, now that, I mean, you're pretty much a household name now. Has there been somebody that's kind of like reached out to you that you were kind of like surprised, like, holy shit, like, I didn't know this person even was into Fortnite or watched streams or anything like that?
I mean, I know Jordan Fisher now because of Fortnite, which is insane.
I think it's crazy that a lot of our favorite musicians we're now friends with.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts. Like, I can, this is okay. Here's weird flex, but okay. Number two of the night. Sorry. I could text Steve Aoki right now. I could text Dylan Francis.
Well, he owns Rogue, right?
Steve Aoki is a major investor. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same with Imagine Dragons.
Yeah. Imagine like the connections now. Are really weird.
It's sorry, I have to. I'm obligated.
Yeah.
It's okay. I understand. Oh, it's a very strange thing for me because I'm a very I'm a very low key person. I don't really. I'm not that like jump on the fame bus kind of guy. And suddenly I know people that are very, very, very famous in a very very real way, and I'm like, this is so not. This is I'm so out of my element right now.
It's so weird.
You're
like,
some
okay,
dude from Nebraska who you hit a fucking jackpot there, buddy.
Here's a perfect example of this is that speaking of Dylan Francis, is he had an Instagram story maybe like a week or two ago where he was just talking about how he spent $160 on new light bulbs for his whole entire house, but he kept getting the wrong ones, so he kept having to go back to the store over and over again. And you would never just send this to a celebrity in your regular life, but I was able to send him a joke and like make fun of him, and he was making fun of me back, and I was like, this is so weird that I've like loved your music for so long, and here I am, I'm able to like totally pull your leg and make fun of you and not feel nervous about it or like
so weird
shy around him or anything. It's super weird.
That's got to cool be insane though.
So Japan is like a 13-hour flight from where you're from. Just saying. Just want to, you know.
I don't have to say anything. I will drop it. I'm just putting that out there.
No, I'm fucking with you. I'm fucking with you.
Yes, Stu's definitely on the case. So what are you? You said you guys you're watching Game of Thrones. What are you guys into now? Like, what do you guys watch? Like, now that Game of Thrones is over,
as soon as we're done with this, we're gonna watch the next episode of Altered Carbon. I'm forcing her to watch it.
Oh, she is not. I haven't finished that.
Episode. She's not interested. At least she doesn't seem too interested. I'm like, I'm gonna make it happen.
Here's the thing: is I love all the sciencey and action. Like, I'm more that kind of person than I am. Like the romantic comedy or drama or anything like that. Like, I love that kind of stuff. But for some reason, I think it's just because I can't understand a lot of what they're saying because I can't pick up low tones as easily. So I'm like really straining to understand what the characters are saying, and I had and there's accents, and I just my brain is not
there are some accents. In her defense, there are
my brain is not able to pick all this stuff up. So I'm kind of like, wait, now who is that guy, and why is he here, and what is going on? And
yeah, my wife likes that. I mean, she likes the same kind of stuff I'm into, and I was really into that show, and for whatever reason, like she just wasn't into it, and. Frankly, if she's not into it, then we're not going to watch it. I'm going to be honest with you. But the other night, like after Game of Thrones, I was really upset because I was like, you know what? Like another show I loved, like top five favorite shows is Fringe. And I was like, we need to watch Fringe again. Let's just watch it. And
it's me. I'm trying to get him to watch Dexter with me right now.
I've never watched through all of it.
I can send you the DVDs. I've never watched it, but I have all of them. So let me give me your PO box. I'll send them to you.
I admittedly don't have a DVD player in the house. Not even kidding. We just don't own one.
I use Xbox or PlayStation for it. To be honest,
probably have that somewhere.
Yeah, that was a huge discussion we had the other day because we're cutting the cord. And it was like, well, what are we going to go with? And we already have the Apple TV. Like, I've invested so much money in Apple and bought all my movies on there. It's like, well, fine. We just get Apple TVs for every room in the house so we can watch all of our shit. So,
see, what other stuff have we watched? Umbrella Academy recently.
That looks good, too.
Love, Death, and Robots.
Yes, we watched that. Oh, my God. Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. We're big Sabrina Teenage Witch
fans. See, I want to watch that. I haven't yet.
Let's see. I watch a ton of shows like when I'm editing and working. So I just got done watching The Act on Hulu. That was super good. And I'm trying to think of what else. I'm watching through How to Get Away with Murder right now. I'm in the first season.
Yeah, my wife loved that. She really liked that show. But it's summertime. Like, you know, summertime's coming up, and that's like prime like binge season for us. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we're just so busy during the week now. Like, with the next couple weeks, like, things are starting to kind of wind down. Because we've got, like, got one kid in lacrosse, one in baseball, one in, you know, ice skating, and then my daughter's in, like, a million things. It's, like Thursday nights are my only night to really, like, kind of take a breath where we don't have anything. And then it gets into the weekends, and we have games all weekend and stuff to do. It's, like, it's so much. It's so much shit.
Yeah, there's
and
a
like
lot.
We sit down to like watch something, and we just end up scrolling through Amazon and Hulu and Netflix, and then we're like, "Yeah, I'm tired. Let's just go to bed." We end up like not watching anything. We're just scrolling.
We always
through
just
shit.
Watch if we don't have a lot of time. Our default is either Family Guy or American Dad. And we just pick a random season, random episode, go through that. Yeah, it's always a winner.
See, I don't have that problem. I have the DVR where I record the least amount of shows out of everyone in my family. My daughter definitely has us all beat. So I record five shows through an entire week. And I have gotten backed up on some of those shows like weeks at a time. And it's just like, and then I watch, and my wife has like Hallmark, like every Hallmark movie ever made. I swear she's watched. But that's just how it works, is that they do that. And it's like, all right. Cool. I've watched my one show here and there, and I've stopped caring about them when I come home from work. I just put one on. It's like, I am watching something now. You have that all day, and they've actually been okay with it. But
it's
that's
the way.
My turn.
Yeah. It's, you know, I always joke it's my TV, but yeah, I don't ever watch it. So
yeah.
What games I. You play games all day long. Are there any games that you want to play but don't feel like, do you ever play anything off stream? Like, that's just kind of like for you? You don't have to say what it is or anything, but.
Well, no, the first game I played off stream in quite a long time is actually Tarkov, which is weird to say that Ball Kicking Simulator actually made me want to play it offline. But this was a couple days ago. It was just nice to be able to sit and do something that didn't require, like, I just didn't have to chat. I love you. I do. But damn, y'all sometimes need too much attention, and I don't want to play this video game. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like,
they're like the needy girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they mean well, right? They mean well. But it's just one of those things where, like, I would love to be able to play. There's probably a lot of games, honestly, that kind of fall in that category of man, I wish I had time to play it. I wish I had time to devote a lot of energy to Destiny. I wish I had time to play PUBG. And I wish I had the time to play World of Warcraft. Man, I know you probably don't want to hear that, baby. But I mean I do miss WoW. It was a big part of my life for really long.
You used to play like with the family like every Sunday, right? Is that still going on?
Played a lot. Played a lot of all sorts of stuff. Well, I haven't played with my brothers in a while. But it's just those kind of games, World of Warcraft especially, has been around for in my life for a really, really long time. So mm-hmm. not being able to play it admittedly does kind of suck, you know?
You introduced Charlie to Mario.
Oh yeah, yeah, and he got about halfway through the first level, well mm-hmm. on his own, like nice. Which is crazy to me that
is he playing Switch or was he playing
on the Switch? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Playing on Switch.
See, that's like me when my daughter played Super Mario World 3D. She's almost beaten the entire game by herself, and it's just like,
well, that's nuts.
It's yeah. one of those like. When did this happen? When did you actually get to the point where you can play a video game?
Who are well? You?
But it's kind of nice to hear. You know, Lupo is doing what we would think is the ultimate dream of playing video games, and he has the exact same problem we have. Oh, there's all these games. I wish I could play it. Yeah, we still no time to play it.
Wonderful time to be a gamer, because it's like the big kind of first world problem of there's just too much stuff. There's too much, man.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, I still get blown away by the fidelity of the titles that we have these days. It's just you take any game on the market today, and you would have showed that to me 15 years ago, my jaw would have hit the floor. Like, just visually, audially.
Yeah,
we got it. Don't worry.
Audibly. It's definitely audibly in Canada. Okay,
I'm checking it out. Yeah, audibly. That's
audibly.
That's how you say that.
All right, thanks.
100%.
Throw me a bone here.
We were kind of reminiscing the other night. I think we had a question from somebody, and it was what were your favorite memories in Destiny? Like, what were some of your favorite moments? And we were actually talking about when we used to do the streams with you, where it'd be like the five of us just against you in private matches.
Fun, yeah.
God, it was so much fun.
That's a big throwback. We haven't done that. I haven't done anything like that in a super long time.
And it was like, you know, I mean, that was like a huge deal, you know, for us. And like your star was kind of rising, like not to, I mean, you know, Fortnite is kind of when things like went, psh, like rocket ship into the sky, but yeah. Like, you know, that was a big deal for us because, you know, not a lot of people knew who we were. I mean, we were kind of, you know, rising slowly but surely through the ranks, but, you know, just for you to be like, hey, I'm going to be on the front page tonight, do you guys want to come on and play private matches? And being like, fuck yeah, we do. But not just, love, yeah, and you know, we appreciate.
He's like, every I asked time everybody you... else, and they said no. So yeah, what are you guys doing?
Exactly.
No, I remember you, Benjamin, talking about that. Now that you brought that up that night, I remember you talking about wanting to do that.
Yep.
And it was just, I know, it was just fun. And what I was talking about, you know, it's not so much like, yes, it was nice that you did that, and it got us some exposure, but it was just. It was the playing with someone who was as good at video games, like without kissing your ass.
No, go on. I'm listening.
pucker up. No, but like,
get both cheeks.
No, but seriously, like, we are average at best at video games. But to play with someone who is really good at video games, like Stu's maybe a little bit above that. Like Baroque is, I'm a little below average. Yeah. It was just, I don't know. It was just crazy to be like, how the fuck is that guy? Like, he's playing the game, right? The same game that I'm playing. And I am awful.
Guys, like,
completely underleveled. And we're all overleveled.
I promised some confessions tonight. So I'll start it off with the first confession.
You will?
I was throwing the game that night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was definitely throwing it. I was with Dr. Lupo. It was his idea. I didn't want to, but he pressured me. And
I did.
Oh, no.
You know, just want to let everybody know.
Those are fun times. That and watching you having an easier time taking a 5-year-old through Trials of Osiris than
it was really
Stu.
Fucking sweaty that night. All right, it was the last weekend. Little of Dickens. Trials.
He's a legend.
I don't have the reaction time of his child. Oh my gosh. Okay? It's not fair. God.
He's one of my favorite people still to this day.
He's such a good kid.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah. That was funny. Well, why don't we do Song of the Week, and then we'll let you guys go, and you can watch some Altered Carbon. All right, yes. Let me bring up my Spotify. So, every week we have a gosh, I'm so not going to be doing this anymore. So I should probably get it right now. So we have a playlist on Spotify. It is the Distinguished Gentleman Spotify playlist. Actually, I'm only going to have a couple more times where I'm able to do this, so I'll do it.
And now, it is time for the Distinguished Gentleman Spotify playlist, the number one podcast music playlist on the internet. Accept no substitutes, as no one else can come close to our essential selections.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jelly. yeah, I don't, you know, there are other podcast playlists out there. You know, ours, you know, the cream rises to the top.
Often imitated.
Yes.
No, like seriously, often.
Yeah, imitated. Like often imitated.
Oh my God.
Oh boy.
Wow. That's cool.
But anyway, so listeners, we have a Spotify playlist. You can go there and listen to all 437 songs, Baroque.
Yep.
I think next week we're probably going to add like 50 some songs to it, or maybe I'll just do it during the week. I think it's songs I'm going to add them in here. All right. Samantha.
What is
your song this week?
It's funny we were talking about Dylan Francis a lot tonight because that's the song that I picked because his newest song, Change Your Mind with Lovely the Band, has been like my get up and kind of like wake myself up song every single morning because it's very chill, but then the chorus, it amps up. So that is my song.
All right. It has been added.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Ben, Lupo. What's your song?
There's a couple different ones that I want to throw out there because I don't remember which ones of these I've added. So we'll start with a song called Departure, and the group is Imagined Herbal Flows. Let me know if that's on there or not.
No, that's not going to be on there.
Let me see.
Like, I don't know if Spotify has it, but I'm like, that one would not be on our playlist.
What was it called? Heading Home?
Not even close.
Sorry. Departure. I'm sorry. I have a weird brain where it's like, oh, I'm looking at this thing. That must be what you said. No, I don't see it on here, unfortunately.
Can't get super obscure.
That's not super obscure. That makes me sad.
You know what? I'm gonna write it down.
You can get pretty obscure.
I'm gonna do that. I'm saying that one anyway. Figure out how to get on the
list. It is here. search IHF. That's what they're under.
Oh, okay.
Departure is there.
All right. I did see that.
Throw that song in there. That song is the song that was used in probably the first high quality Destiny 1 montage I ever saw. It was KJ Hovey. And the editor that did it was when like Mida Multitool was first started like getting picked up big time in PvP in D1.
So good.
And
so
he fucking good. His editor paced the shots to the song at certain parts. It's phenomenal. In fact, if you're out there and you're watching this, you want to get a hit with a brick of nostalgia in the face. I'm looking up. Hold on. Where is it? It's edited by The Reachway.
The Reach Around? Sorry.
The Reach Around Cafe.
Not your dream event with somebody. This montage is phenomenal. And Reachway did a really, really good job taking all the stuff that Hobie did and pasting into the song. It's wonderful. It surprisingly only has 300,000 views, which blows my mind because this thing is literally amazing. Please go watch it.
I love a good D1 montage. I was actually like looking up some old D1 like videos. Oh god, so much fun. I miss it. I mean, D2 is it's still fun. Like we still play, and it's just man, it was so much fun. So much, so many good memories. Stu, I have a comment about a song that you had put on here that I've been listening to a lot lately.
Which one?
And I mean, I've always loved this song, but it kind of like brought it back when you had put it on. Is "The Man in Me" by Bob Dylan?
Ah, that was, yeah, it was God. On my Lebowski kick.
Such a good song. Such a good song. It, like, I think about that song and I think about my wife. Like, oh, I love you so much, baby. You bring out the man in me.
takes a special woman.
Oh my God! I was listening to our buddy. AKA Gear Dad's podcast, Anti-Meta, the other day, actually today, and he put a song on his, and it was this George Strait song called The Best Day or something like that, and I was listening to it, and it's kind of like a Cat's in the Cradle, and it was like about this dad talking about his son going fishing, and the son said it's the best day, and then they build a car together, and the son, like, I'm not a country...
Yeah, he loves his country, AKA
Gear Dad. Jay loves his country.
I didn't realize that.
But it was like, if you want to think about like your son and cry over a song, that's the song to do it to. All right. Stu, what do you got?
So with the show winding down, there's a lot of things that are on my mind, kind of nostalgic a little bit. So I'm going to go with Live Forever by Oasis.
Not Fuck Forever by Justin and Elmer Fudd.
I'm waiting for you to give me the MP3 of that. My phone doesn't recognize your ridiculous Apple
format.
Should
we play that for our guests?
Yeah, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't.
Would like to watch an episode of All Through Carbon tonight is my response to that.
Yes. I think you need to hear this song.
Just give him a quip.
All right, so Live Forever, right?
Yeah, please.
Okay, by Oasis. All right. Baroque, what's your song?
I'm going to go off script and go with something that somebody might have actually heard of this week. I'm going to go with Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Dark Necessities.
Oh, that's a great song. And I'm going to go with Omaha by Counting Crows.
Also a good song.
Good song. Good great place.
Album. Great album. All right. I will, you know what? If you guys go to the podcast feed, I know you're trying to get out of here. Last week there is an episode that's just called IHYFF. And it's just one song, and I think you guys will enjoy it. It's from a James Bond type movie. A friend of the show, Elmer Fudd, and I are doing, and we wrote a theme song to the movie. The movie's called I Hope You Fuck Forever. So we wrote the theme song to that. It's pretty good stuff. Anyway.
It's fucking it's hilarious.
It is something. I haven't played it for my wife yet.
Gosh.
I'm debating on whether I want to play it for my wife.
Like, it was in my head all week. Please don't play it again
right
now. Oh my
God, I've been singing it all fucking week. I hope you fuck forever. Anyway.
Fuck forever.
It was very, very
three times.
It was very generous of you guys to give us some time tonight. I know you're extremely busy, and we really appreciate it. And thanks so much for just, you know, always coming on the show and being candid. And you know, Samantha, you were nice enough to be a co-host for many months, and it was always great to have
fun.
your a motherly, womanly insight to all of our crazy childish antics.
Most of the time I was just shaking my head because
well, I don't think that translated through the podcast, but just know most of the time if you go back and listen, she was shaking her head. But thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. And, you know, again, you guys are really great people. Well-deserved with all the success that you're both finding now. And, we appreciate you guys just being on the show.
Thank you very much for having us. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. If you want to you want to find the show for the next couple weeks, you can go. Actually, Twitter's not going anywhere. You can find us at DGents on Twitter. You can find me at JC Jesse. Baroque, where can people find you?
You can find me all across the interwebs at Baroque Reaper.
Stu, where can people find you?
At Stugatzo, S-T-U underscore G-A-T-Z-O. Just a note, I promised some confessions, but the first confession is we ran out of fucking time. So,
yeah, we'll do that next week. You know what? Maybe next week is the perfect time for confessions. This is the last episode.
Spill everything and then disappear.
We are going to burn it fucking down next week. We're going to burn it down. Samantha, where can people find you at?
Mrs. Dr. Lupo everywhere.
All right. And Ben, where could people find you at, possibly?
You tell me, dude. I think if you just go to Google, type Dr. Lupo in, smile.
You'll find everything.
You'll find everything.
You'll find it all. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. Be excellent to each other. Stay fresh. Hashtag safe.
Listen, this gentleman, defenders of the universe. Magic with the microphones. Just heroes riding seats of gold. Distinguished gentlemen, they're the freaking best.
He really can just give a good ass pounding and then just go make dinner. Like, that's nothing to him.